Hey there, sex fans! Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, September 2nd, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
You're not really funny, you know. So why don't you just piss off?
Oh, tough crowd tonight, kids. Listen, this week we're going to get some pretty delightful sex education. This is, of course, the podcast series that looks at the world of fetish sex, kink, and alternative sexual lifestyles. My guests have included prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles from all over the world. And today, I'm proud to add another category to that list. Entertainers.
I see we have a celebrity with us tonight.
You can say that again. My guest is the one and only Sylvia O. Stay for More. She's the toast of the Emerald City, don't you know? She is my friend, a brilliant drag performer, and a laugh riot on stage and off. She has tickled my fancy on several occasions, if you know what I mean. And guess what? I even had the good fortune to co-host a live sex show with Miss Sylvia a couple of years ago. As a special treat, I've added that video to the podcast posting right here on drdicksexadvice.com. Be sure to check it out because it has a naked man in it. Hold on there, you're getting the wrong idea. The naked man ain't me, happily. Listen, be sure to visit Sylvia on her MySpace page at Sylvia O'Stay 1 or her Facebook page, Sylvia O'Stay. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ideal sponsor for this fetish and kink series, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish wear, and gear right there at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab. Listen, you'll enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes-siree, sex fans, you can now spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick out all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you can shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit My Stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did.
I'll sleep with you for a meatball.
I don't have any meatballs right now, but let's do take a nappy right after the show. Okay, on with the show.
Darling, it's so good to be in your stunning company once again. Thank you for hosting us in your boudoir. So, this is the fabled Holy of Holies that your many suitors have been talking about. It's been way too long between our visits, and of course, you're looking fabulous as always. How do you do it?
Well, I exercise daily, take Geritol, and drink Tab on a regular basis.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. You haven't aged a day since we were working together on that groundbreaking Jizz For You live shows.
Those were really fun. I had a good time with that. I miss Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights that we would do that?
It was Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Tuesdays and Thursdays where you could have an automatic sex show. It was lovely.
That's right.
Lovely to look forward to. Even though, how long did it last? It only several months or?
Yes, it was only several months. And I'll never forget the very last show that we did, although at the time we didn't know it was our last show. You were co-host, and Axel, your co-host, couldn't make the show that evening, and so Dr. Dick was pressed into service, and I joined you on stage.
Yes.
Do you remember you sang, and we laughed, and then that beautiful naked black man came and joined us for his interview? And as I recall, he was still wet with the dew of his cum shot when
yes.
he plunked himself down between us and shared our cocktails.
Cocktails, being the operative word there.
Ah, the good old days. There's nothing like live sex shows in the evening to get the blood rushing to all the parts the blood needs to rush to, right?
That's right.
So, before we get too far down memory lane, we should probably have you say hello to the really nice people in our audience.
Well, hello, nice people in the audience. Welcome.
And so we need to know more about you. Yeah. May I ask you what you wrote about yourself, your early life, in your bio on your website?
Jeez, you pulled this from old website that I haven't updated in years. And I was reading this and I thought, oh my word, I've got to update that. Anyway, my old website says I was born in Salt Lake City, Utah at the Uptown Trailer Court and Motel on State Street in a full-size slumber queen, daughter of the internationally infamous pound cake, the star of Idle Isles, Cocktail Hour for Mormons, two-night groundbreaking run in Brigham City, Utah. Mostly I was raised in Dupree, Nevada, truck stop on the way to Las Vegas, and I've always loved being in the spotlight.
Ah, and so from those very humble beginnings,
yes,
you've been able to claw yourself to the top of the heap here in the beautiful Emerald City, downtown Seattle.
And what a heap it is.
I guess when the fates dictate, that's Dick-Tate,
oh,
that one become a star, nothing shall get in the way of that star's rise.
No.
Isn't that correct?
Just encouraged and enlarged and engorged.
Oh.
And then brought to its full fruition.
So, listen, I'd like to direct our attention to some very important issues. Those issues being gender and race and sex roles and sexual orientation and, of course, frilly knickers.
Oh.
I'd like to talk first about cross-dressing. Is cross-dressing just another word for transvestism, or is there more to it than that, in your estimation?
Well, now, you're only looking at my opinion, because I'm
That's
no doctor
right.
or studied professional. I'm just one of those regular girls off the street. So this only comes from what my knowledge is, and it's certainly nothing that's in the books or anything like that. My idea of cross-dressing is... And there's so many different levels of it. Cross-dressing can be anything from a gay man who doesn't necessarily want to do drag but likes to wear women's clothing,
mm-hmm,
and just kind of likes the feminine look of it, the feminine cut of the clothes, the feminine, you know, the gape of the pants, because they want them to cling to their private areas to show their assets in the best way. And cross-dressing can be just a regular straight man who's actually getting off on wearing the dresses and mm-hmm so forth. But I think that's more of a transvestism,
yes,
kind of thing.
Right.
But it's kind of, it's gray. It's very gray. You could use,
right.
use it for both.
Well, I suspect that there is so much gray area simply because that cross-dressing dates back into prehistory.
Mm-hmm.
If it's been part of the human experience for as long as that, there must be a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care to speculate what that reason might be?
Well, it's always been kind of a way, well, even in, there's several different reasons. There's probably reasons that they used it as a disguise,
uh-huh,
for army reasons, you
uh-huh
know, to get into other regions, and it was kind of, it's very taboo in some cultures, most cultures, in the early days. You kind of wore what you were supposed to wear, and that's how you specified who you were and your
mm-hmm
stereotype and so
mm-hmm
forth. And if you crossed over to that, then you weren't fitting the norm. And
right,
you ran into the problems of being ostracized and persecuted if you did it.
Right. So I suspect, and this is just, you know, my hunch on the matter, is that cross-dressing evolves when there's really buttoned-down sex roles and sexual expectations about genders. Men are supposed to do this, and women are supposed to do that, and never the twain shall meet. And then there's a whole bunch of folks that fall someplace in the middle, and they want to rally against that, and they decide that they're for political reasons, perhaps, or subversive reasons, that they're going to cross-dress. Is that also something that you're aware of?
Or it's also the people, if it's completely a loose culture.
Yeah.
And people have the complete opportunity to choose whatever they want to do.
Exactly.
And then they decide that I want to wear a dress today. Just because I like the way it flows. And he could be a complete butch and does the other things, you know.
That's right.
And it's the utility kilts.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. Now that's a thing. Now that's a thing.
And that's not necessarily cross-dressing.
That isn't.
But it isn't the norm.
Yeah. Or
in everybody's
that's
mind.
Right. That's right, and especially if you wear underwear under utility
belt. That's
true.
That's true.
So is cross-dressing and being a drag queen one and the same thing? If not, how do they differ?
I look at, cross-dressing is part of being a drag queen because you're definitely cross-dressing. Mm-hmm. Drag queen and drag king is just taking it to a different level. I would use it as... If you're in drag, you're wanting to do some sort of performance
with
it to make it as you're an entertainer of some sort.
Right.
You're trying to impress other people or give them the illusion that you've crossed over.
Right.
And you're doing that through performance of some sort.
So every drag king or drag queen is a cross-dresser, but not every cross-dresser is a drag queen or a drag king.
It's true.
There you have it.
And not every drag king or drag queen is a crossdresser.
Is that right?
Yes. There's actually women that like to be drag queens.
No kidding?
Yeah. They like to just accentuate what they wear, and they love to perform and lip sync and stuff. There's quite a few of them in San Francisco.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, see...
But they definitely call themselves drag queens.
You're opening Dr. Dick's eyes once again.
Good.
Wow. Someone's got to.
My.
So can we talk about your personal journey? How, when, why, and where?
How?
Yes.
When, why, and where? Well, first of all, there was a reason. Halloween, normally, I think, was the first one. And I'd always kind of looked for the excuse. And then the second one was a reason. There was a fundraiser that they were needing to do for the MCC church in Logan. And the closest gay bar out of Logan, Utah is in Ogden. It was called The Journal.
No kidding.
So we all went down there with my drag mom and a couple of local... little performers, and we did a little fundraiser down at the Journal. Hmm. I think we ended up raising $400 for them in 92, which was not bad.
Right.
You know, it paid for, like, food for 1 week. I don't know what it did, but that was our first fundraiser.
I remember, let's see, I was ordained in 1975. In 1976, I went to visit some friends of mine in Boise, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of fell in love with a bartender at the only gay bar in Boise called Shucky's.
Oh, nice.
And they had a drag show, and these were all Mormon boys from, I guess, the Great Salt Lake area.
Yeah.
And they were there with their girlfriends, and their girlfriends were their seamstresses and their makeup artists. And
wow.
I was dumbstruck.
How trippy.
And I was coming from San Francisco to visit Boise, and I was just like, this is so amazing.
Oh, that's trippy.
And
the girls all knew that they were just...
Well, you know, I don't know what was going on with the girlfriends. You know, what were they thinking at the time? I mean, were they thinking that, you know, their boyfriends were just, you know... burgeoning artists or
in denial. Wow.
That's only Mormon.
Because you're at a gay bar.
Yes.
In the middle of Idaho.
Yes.
Oh wow, that's wow.
Yeah,
that's
in 1976, probably.
Oh my word.
1976 at least, yes. No kidding.
That's insane.
So I think we've already addressed this, and cross dressing is primarily a male thing. At least nowadays, right? And you think no? You think it's
there's a lot.
Genders,
yeah,
crosses all gender.
Not gender specific. There's a lot of drag kings
uh-huh.
that are getting very prominent.
Yeah,
out of New York and San Francisco that are doing very well, and even in the porn industry.
That's right.
There's that Angel, I think is his name.
Buck Angel.
Buck Angel.
He's going to be a guest on this very show, don't you know?
Amazing. And I've seen Buck Angel. He's very attractive.
Yes.
Very attractive. I haven't heard him actually in the performance, and I hear the voice is not as believable.
Oh, he's got a very gravelly voice.
Really? Really?
Very gravelly.
Okay.
And
maybe it's a young gravelly voice, you know.
It's for our audience who don't know Buck Angel, he's a transsexual porn star. Mm-hmm. And he's a female to male, and he was a fashion model in the 80s.
Really?
Slim, glorious, beautiful fashion model.
Wow.
And now
that's
he's
even
this,
cooler.
I know.
Oh,
and
my
now
word.
He is this tattooed, cigar smoking, muscled up.
Yeah.
Butch.
Very gorgeous.
Man with
Hot
a pussy.
Man, yeah.
With a pussy.
With a pussy.
Because you can't be a man without a pussy, I'm always thinking.
Well, you know, he's going to use it one way or another.
Oh. Can you define what cross-dressing is? And are there subcategories or levels of cross-dressing? And if there are, can you elaborate? You've already suggested that there's both drag queens and drag kings and cross-dressing for, you know, just the fun of it. And mm-hmm.
Well, there's cross-dressing for the sexuality of it.
Yes.
Men who really enjoy just wearing female clothing, not necessarily wanting to blend in,
right,
but just really liking
yeah.
the feel of women's clothing.
Yeah.
You see that through MySpace and Facebook and all those other social networks. You see a lot of them that are on there. And especially as Sylvia, I can see a lot of them will become friends
yes.
and so forth. They really like wearing just pantyhose,
mm-hmm.
The underwear part, the bras, the whole thing with the boobs that they're creating off their body, either via duct tape or
mm-hmm.
creating the cleavage somehow.
Right. The
high heels. They love the high heels. And the tights and the high heels and the fishnets all on top of it and everything.
Yeah,
and
right.
The whole thing. And these men will go to, like, motels, rent them out for the weekend, and they'll bring their whole array of drag and just sit in the hotel. And I don't know necessarily if that's what they're doing, but I'm seeing, like, a whole photo shoot
right.
of so-and-so, Miss somebody out of Arkansas,
uh-huh.
and she's sitting in this hotel room, and she's all cross-legged with these mini skirts really, really tight, and this great big sweater, and this huge teased-up wig, and just makeup all over the place, and huge talon nails, and she's just sitting there demurely taking self-pictures of her in the room.
Mm.
I was like, wow. I wonder what she really does in her real life so that she's able to go off and do this whenever. Is it that? And there's different levels like that. There's
yeah.
just to get off on it. There's other people that just, like, they love the sexuality of it.
Right.
Other people, they just want to have the feeling of nylon next
right.
to them. They really
right.
like the tightness of
yeah.
how it feels and
right.
the confinement
right. Right.
of it.
And then there are folks who are just into it for the gender fuck. I
mm-hmm.
mean, they keep their beards and their mustaches and their facial hair and
yeah.
and or like the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence who are like out in their own space
mm-hmm.
doing their own thing that you know, no one was ever accused them of being, you know, trying to look like women necessarily. But they're a political movement along
yeah.
with everything else.
Hmm. And they do service and do
Absolutely.
Tons of work. But
Absolutely.
They're definitely much more artistic as far as facial stuff
yeah.
than necessarily
yeah.
drag queens will ever get
yeah.
into. Or,
right.
I mean, some of them are as artistic, but they really get into
yeah.
the white face and
yeah.
everything. It's just
right,
amazing.
Right, right. So would you hazard a guess on what makes cross-dressing so sexually charged for so many people?
Probably because it's so naughty.
Mm-hmm.
It's so not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
I know when people are turned on by me, it's usually tends to be really like butch people that would seem to fit the butch stereotype, but then I find that attractive too.
Mm-hmm.
And like people in the Army, Navy,
mm-hmm.
and so forth, they just happen to like women that have both things. So they like the breasts and they like a penis.
Yes.
And
yeah.
they really don't necessarily want somebody that's crossed over completely. They
yeah.
want to have them have both.
Yeah.
And be
yeah.
right in the middle of
yeah.
everything.
And besides, it's fun to play with that that ambiguous area between mm-hmm. male and female.
Because you can live both fantasies.
That's right. I think it's amazing.
Not necessarily where you have a pussy, but
yeah. Right. So some of the common myths about cross-dressing is that cross-dressing is an indication of a gay orientation, or mm-hmm. cross-dressing is an indication of a transsexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose those are myths, yes?
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally myths. I know several bisexuals and straights yeah. and, you know, and you know that
Deborah people, Darling.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
They totally identify as straight. And, and I know several drag kings that identify as gay males.
Oh.
So they are crossing over to a male so that they can go out with men.
Hmm. You know, it's a funny thing. Some time ago, I got a letter as on Dr. Dick's sex advice, and it was a gay man, regular, ordinary kind of gay man. He described himself as just your average Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having a real difficult time getting laid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was on Craigslist and, you know, all the other manhunts.
He was really working at it.
Really working at it.
Yeah.
And not getting what he thought he should be getting. And so he wrote to me, he said, "What's up with this?" And he said, that one day on Craigslist he was noticing that there were a bunch of people who were placing ads and saying that they were ostensibly straight men, but they were looking to play around, you know, with gay folks. And but they were for sure straight. And they were getting hit up, apparently, because
oh, yeah.
he decided to test this out, and he put up an ad, and he said that he was a straight guy. And immediately he was hit on, and
oh,
he
yeah.
changed nothing about himself. He just did this. And so he invited people over, and he was having all of this one-night stand sex that was really great and wonderful, and he just kept ratcheting the thing up. And so he had, like, a girlfriend at work that he had to call in at a specified time, you know, when he was going to be in flagrante delicto with, you know, his male partner, this gay guy who is wanting to hump this straight dude, and start ragging on him, "What are you doing, and what are you doing? What are those voices in the background?" Which would drive the straight guy even crazier with desire. And he had a picture of his sister on the bed, you know, on the nightstand in the bedroom, and say, "This is my girlfriend." And he was making this whole thing up, and he was getting laid like crazy. And then he was complaining to me. He said, "Well, the reason that I'm having such a difficult time is that now, you know, I want to actually nest with one of these guys, and I don't know how to tell him that this whole thing was a ruse."
Isn't oh dear!
Isn't that amazing?
That's a movie of the week right there.
I just love it.
Wow.
I just absolutely
that's totally
love.
True, though. You can totally...
Yeah.
That's a huge taboo thing.
Yeah. And the more taboo you make it, the more interesting it becomes to some
yeah.
folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that you're hit on more as Sylvia than as your male persona?
100% more.
You're kidding!
No.
Really?
No, Sylvia gets hit on every... Like, when Facebook and MySpace were going at full bore,
uh-huh.
I would probably get an invitation every day off of really hot guys. And I've never had comfort doing sex
yeah,
in
yeah.
drag.
Yeah.
Because it's more of a business for me,
yeah.
and I don't want to go through my clothing like
yeah.
that.
Really?
And it's not,
because
you know,
those stains.
Yeah, it's stains, and you just ruin this stuff. And it's just, I just don't have that kind of... Yeah, it's just not that intriguing. It's not comfortable
yeah.
to do it in, and I like having, you know, mm-hmm. guy-on-guy sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even told them that, you know, you can watch me get undressed in it, but we're not going to have sex in it, and they're still into the whole idea of it.
No kidding.
So, yeah, I had some hockey player out of Florida coming up, and he still comes up every once in a while out of one of the teams out of there. He plays in a professional team. He's totally into tights, and it's just, wow. And we got very close to actually finding each other and getting it working, but it was like a show night.
Yeah.
By the time I was done, he still wanted to get together, and I was just like, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had to get up, and I had another social event the next day, and I was like, you know, there's no way. I'm sorry. I'm too old for this now. If you had hit me up 10 years ago, I would have been able to do it, but not anymore.
Ah. that is so amazing.
But he totally was right into it. And he said, well, can you pick me up in your outfit that you're finishing? And I said, yeah, that's fine. And so I was going to do it, but...
On the Vespa, of course.
No, I've got a car now. I've got a car and the Vespa still, so...
See how you are? You're just going, you know...
I got the car as a gift from one of my fans.
No kidding!
Yeah. It's fabulous.
They just so.
Didn't want the car anymore, and so they gave it to me.
No kidding. That is amazing. Do you have any advice for parents who have discovered that their kid cross-dresses?
No, because I don't have my own kids. And that's always something that... And I don't know how my parents kind of dealt with it. I don't know if they really dealt with it. I guess they did. They just moved dresses out of my way. They didn't really do it. And I remember... And I don't know if it's a dream of mine, because I've actually asked Mom if this happened. But I remember Dad taking me, probably when we were in Chicago, and taking me over to the university and letting me go into their regular play, the children's play area, and choose any of the dress-up outfits that I wanted to wear. Mm-hmm. And I went and chose a black dress with white pearls, and then he did a battery of questions for me. Like psychology questions.
No kidding.
From what I remember, I thought that that's the case. And so I was thinking maybe he was maybe going through my gender stuff and trying to figure out if I was gay.
Yeah.
Because I was a queen all the way from, you know, little up. Every single picture of me, I'm always in a pose. And, you know, just flamboyant as hell. And I was, even in kindergarten, I asked to be a witch just because it was a dress.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting, and there's a picture of us, my sister and me, in the living room, on the couch, there's a witch and a Casper. And if you ask Mother, who's the Casper? She goes, well, that's you. And I said, no, I was the witch. And she just denied it. But I remember vividly, because it came with a skirt, and she let me be the witch that year. And there's another picture of us somewhere that I've still got to look at. With it. We're sitting on the front of the porch with us, and you can tell it's me, because I've got pants underneath it.
Uh-huh.
And but that witch costume disappeared right after Halloween.
Yeah.
So, they knew what was going on.
Yeah.
They kind of dealt with it by not dealing with it.
Yeah.
They just...
Well, you know, some parents, this is something that I'm aware of, from what I hear from people in private practice as well as, you know, on Dr. Dick, is that some parents are really concerned is that there's a gender problem.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's bad enough that the kid might be gay,
yeah.
But it's worse if, you know, they actually want to be transgendered.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's what your father was trying to, you know, establish, you know, with
I don't
know,
in the 70s, though? I would think that would be really hard for anybody to deal with. But I know that they've been going to therapy over me being gay since I was 3. So Mom's always had a therapist. Everything, but, you know, it was always something else.
Yeah,
but my sister confided in me. She goes, oh, yeah, Mom's been going to a shrink for you since you were 3.
And it's all your fault.
No. We're in good spirits. Mom has seen a couple of my shows, and she's very supportive.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, what could not be? I mean, you're just such a joy to be around.
Oh, thank you.
Good. So, do you suppose? I mean, just extrapolating from your own personal experience, would it be a bad thing to try to break a kid of cross-dressing?
Well, each situation has its own thing.
Right.
Because where you're living
right.
is a completely different thing, and it depends on how much you want to sacrifice your family
right.
for the one kid and where they're living. I know for me and where I was at the time,
mm-hmm.
my parents had relocated to Utah.
Mm-hmm.
There was absolutely no way that I would ever have been accepted. And I wasn't accepted in Utah. I hated every minute of it while I was there because I didn't meld in. I didn't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
I could hide under the religion of being a good Mormon kid, but that still didn't protect me most of the time.
Right.
And that was very hard to grow up with. And so what I would recommend with them, it's all depending on what the family is doing. It's a huge burden to put on a family. I mean, they can't just up and leave your job and your livelihood of where you've decided to move so that your one kid can move in and live and flourish in a major city where they're going to be more accepted.
Right. Well, there's no guarantees that in a major city the kid is going to be any more
accepted.
But, I mean,
it's all in the circles.
It seems to me that parents could maybe have a discussion with the kid and say... you know, as you probably can guess, sunny.
Yeah.
This isn't going over well with the, you know, with the neighbors, or, you know, you can see, you know, the small town that we're living in, they don't understand this. Maybe this is something that you could do in private at your house. And
but none of us were even talking about that.
I
we
know.
Didn't know about it.
I
we
know.
Didn't understand it. I didn't understand it.
But I mean, nowadays, I mean, parents are facing this right now.
Yeah.
And probably some parents are in our audience and are wondering about this very kind of thing. And how I'm of the mind that trying to suppress a fetish, particularly something as innocuous as cross-dressing, is really counterproductive, because you just add, you know,
more intrigue to it.
That's right. And if the kid wants to be defiant, then, you know, this is how they're going to be defiant. And they'll be more and more outrageous, more and more flamboyant and stuff.
And maybe even go farther, just because they want to be,
you know,
against what your belief
right.
and not
that's
necessarily
right.
mean what they want to do.
That's right.
I'd hate someone to go in all the way through a sex change and not really want it.
Well, and there have been people like that. I know them myself, you know, that they regretted it the moment that they woke up, you know, after, you know, the surgery. It's like, what the fuck
did I do?
Yeah. And why did I do it? I mean, was it just acting out behavior? And of course, there are lots and lots of people who, you know, that this finally frees them up to be the person that
they... Oh, totally. And it's the right thing for them.
Yeah. But, I'm not trying to lay blame or guilt trip on parents and things like that, but I do encourage, when I see it in my private practice as well as when I hear from people on Dr. Nick, that, you know, just let it run its course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call as little attention to it as possible. And
well, open up the world of discussion, though, between you and the kid, if you can.
Yeah, yeah.
If your relationship with that, with the child is that way.
Yeah.
Mine was not with my parents that
way.
I couldn't really discuss it, because we just, I'm not that much of a talking person
until
I came out,
until
I found myself.
Yeah.
Because I was dealing with everyday life of survival.
That's so true.
Through, as a kid growing up
in
a small
so
conservative town.
Right.
You've just got to deal with, like, why am I so queenie? Why do I hate sports? Why do I, let alone, I like cross-dressing. Why do I like boys? What, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
All piled on
but
top
I mean,
of that.
But, I mean, you know, gay folks who are not interested in cross-dressing, gay kids who are not interested in cross-dressing and who might be butch, actually are going through the same kinds of things that you just elucidated.
Certainly.
And they don't fit in, and they feel badly, and they feel ostracized, and, you know, they feel different, and, you know, so it really, I mean, layered, of course, on, you know, if you're cross-dressing and stuff, it's
well, I think the most important thing for me, though, is all through the hard times of just going through high school and junior high and all that, my parents always just said, you know, whatever you do, we love you.
Oh, how nice.
And that's, you know, they've always said that.
Yeah.
We'd like you to do, you know, we have agendas that we'd like you to fulfill, but, you know, whatever you do, you're our kid.
Yeah.
So, and that's the sweetest thing my dad said last time they were here, is like, and mom said, do you want to go see his show? And he goes, well, if you want me to see his show, I will see it. I don't necessarily want to see my son in drag, but that's the thing. And I said, no, I don't want you there then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to. It's fun. I don't want it to be
a
chore for you.
Right, exactly.
And you don't like it, so we don't have to discuss it.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Exactly. But to see you in action is it's a rare treat.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Look at the time. I'm afraid that our time is up for today. Can we come back next week and pick up where we left off? Because I have, like, tons more questions to ask.
I love that idea.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Will you wear something different next week?
Of course.
Something
just for you.
Like what? Tell
something
me.
Frilly. Maybe something in a spring color.
Even though it's almost autumn. But
that's true.
But in drag world...
Who matters? It doesn't matter.
You're wonderful. Before we go, could you give us your website address and walk us around a little bit and let us know what we could find there?
Sure.
Because we want to visit you during the week.
Well, I've got my schedule currently on MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go and see my calendar there, because that's the only website that has my calendar.
Good.
MySpace, and it's Sylvia Ostay 1. At MySpace. So if you go to MySpace and then you just put in the user as Sylvia Ostay, all one word. And
we'll make sure that
one.
That's on the website.
And then my old website, which you got all this information from, which is the old, like, archived one, is stayformore.com.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be working on that in the next few weeks, because we're going to go professional. No, I've been going professional on that thing for 10 years and I still haven't done anything with it, so it's just been kind of a
But it's wonderful. I mean, all those great pictures and...
Thank you.
Really terrific. So until next week then, we will see you in cyberspace.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Silvio.
Thank you.
Ah, what a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for part two of my conversation with Silvia Ostay for more. And more sex advice with an edge. With your host, me, Dr. Dick.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, bringing your sweet old mother into a place like this.
My mother is not nearly as sweet as you think. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself. Or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better just call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Not to worry. Take a look at my brand spanking new sex toy review site at drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the My Stockroom tab right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.